Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Justice with me, prison philanthropist and founder of One Small Thing, Edwina Grosvenor. In the series of Justice, we will explore the experiences of mothers in the justice system, from women who enter prison pregnant and give birth inside, to those who are separated from their children for imprisonment and involvement from social services. Each episode, I'll be speaking to expert guests and exploring what needs to change. In this episode, we focus on a vital topic, the experiences and voices of children affected by maternal imprisonment. We hear that so often children are kept in the dark about what is happening, or their views and wishes are overlooked. This episode contains the voices of children who have been affected, alongside professionals working to improve the support available. We spoke to Fahana Ahmed, who reflected on the lack of communication with her and her sister when her mother was sentenced to prison.
I feel like because we're children, we're not heard. And when our mum went to prison, it was like, okay, like, this is what's happening. But we had to find out ourselves, and that was the worst part of it. Like, we found out last when my foster carer and everyone else knew, and we were just there because we're children. We're not meant to know what's going on. And it was just so secretive. It's like, we don't have a say in it. And that's the worst thing about it. Like, maybe I was quite young, but I understand to a certain extent, and so do most children. My sister was 3 years younger than me, I think. When it was that time, she was the voice for me, because I was at a point in my life that I had enough of no one listening, no one understanding, or someone just to sit there and listen to what I want to say. That she was basically my role model. Even though she was younger, she didn't understand as much as I did. She was the one speaking, because I got to the point where I was like, do you know what? Whatever happens, happens. Like, I don't care anymore, because I just feel like this is my case. I should be the main person, but no one's there. No one's there to support us. We have no support. And I gave up that my little sister was the person speaking on my behalf. I just became mute, and I just didn't say anything. I just kept myself to myself. Like, when I had social workers and legal guardians coming, I'd just keep my head down and not speak, and my sister would do all the speaking for me, because I just got to the point, like, what's the point anymore? I just feel I just gave up. I think mentally as well, it was really quite depressing. My foster carers found out stuff beforehand. Like, I know this is bad, but like, I'd hear them on the phone when I was upstairs in my room, and I'd hear them be there on the phone talking, and I'm just eavesdropping because I can hear what's happening. I can hear what my foster care is saying, and I'm just like, okay, so I'm just thinking in my head, when do I find out what's happening, or when I'm going to see my mom in prison? Like, we'd be the last people to know, when we should be the first, because that's our mom. It got so irritating and annoying that we spoke to so many people, but there's still nothing happened. And at the end of the day, children don't matter, apparently, and that's the bad bit about it.
We also heard from Tiff, whose experiences strongly echoes Fahana's. She was not only kept in the dark, but also lied to about where her mother was.
When Mum went to prison, no one told me anything. There was no communication at all between professionals and me. After about 2 years, I asked why I was in care, and I was told that my mum was unwell, and that was why she wasn't with us. During that time, me and my siblings were never even asked if I wanted to see Mum. When my brother asked our foster care if we could go, he was told that it wasn't appropriate. Although we were young and we didn't know what had really happened to our mum, we wanted to see her, but that decision was taken from us. At the time, because we were in the care system, we had no communication from the prison, so it was hard to know what was really going on. I think that even if Mum was in prison now, we still wouldn't be allowed to see her, even though we're older. Young people with parents in the criminal justice system need to be included in the decisions that are made by them. Having a parent in prison has a huge impact on your life, and so it's important for young people to have their voices heard. To young people with a mum in prison, I would say, don't let others suppress your voice, as you'll need to fight for your right to see your mum. I wish I had been supported to do this.
How we can make sure we hear the voices of children in all of this is something we have explored in previous podcast episodes. For example, we recently spoke to Sarah Beresford, Prison Reform Trust Associate, about the importance of asking children what they want.
My name's Sarah Beresford. I'm an associate of the Prison Reform Trust, and I'm also a Churchill Fellow. So I'm being funded by the Churchill Fellowship to work really closely with the Prison Reform Trust around child impact assessments for children with a mum in the criminal justice system.
Okay, and could you elaborate on what the child impact assessment is and why we need them?
Yeah, so I've worked for many years in the field of supporting children affected by imprisonment, and I've been really aware for a long time that we've talked about we need to recognise children, we need to offer them support, but there hasn't really been anything concrete. I think there's often been a what does that mean question lurking in the air. So I wrote a report for the Prison Reform Trust in 2019, I think, managed to check the date, 2018, 2019, around the impact of children with a mum in the criminal justice system. And it was really out of that I thought, what does this mean when we're making these recommendations for more support, we're saying children should be better recognised, but what would that look like? And it was one of the women in an approved premises here in Liverpool. She said, you know, you get victim impact statements. Why don't you have child impact statements? And it just kind of set off a light bulb in my head of, yeah, we need to have something that allows children to say how they're feeling, but really importantly, to be part of decision making around any support they might need.
Just on that, because I guess the differentiation of a victim impact statement is that a child can still be the indirect victim of a victim. Yeah, exactly. Are you following me? And that, so therefore they need their own separate impact statement. Is that right? So if their mother, for example, was the victim of domestic abuse, sometimes the child doesn't get recognised at all.
Exactly. And, you know, children of people in the criminal justice system are the hidden victims, if you like, of crimes that they haven't committed, but they pay a very heavy price for in being separated. And particularly when it's mums, you know, that's a huge price to pay for children, all the grief and loss and all of that. And yet there's very little support and almost no recognition all the way along the journey. Nobody's asking the question, what about the children? What do the children need? And this was my way of giving people a framework, if you like, to do that, to say, well, hang on a minute, what about the children? What's the impact been on them and what is it that they need? So I got together with some children and young people because I'm a great believer of, I can talk about people, but it's the people who've lived it themselves who really know it. So we got together and I said, what would that look like then? What is it you want people to ask you at the different stages? And we put together this really simple set of questions. They're open questions. We don't use any jargon. They're asking simply, and this came from the children and young people themselves, you know, how are you feeling? How are you doing? And they wanted those to be separate questions because they said, you know, I might be feeling really angry and upset and missing mum, but actually doing okay. And a lot of them said to me, I don't want people assuming that everything's awful because of mum. I might be feeling upset. One girl said, because the dog died. And she said, I hate it when my teachers, everything's referenced about mum being in prison and it isn't always about that. So they wanted those questions to be in there, but separately. How are you feeling? How are you doing? Are you coping? You know, how are you coping? And then, you know, what questions do you have? So just really asking open questions. Is there anything, what support do you feel you need? What is it who could help you and what could they do? And I think often when we're working with children and young people, we fear questions like that in case they ask for a CALMS referral, you know, children and adolescent mental health. And the kind of things that the children were saying to me was, I just want like an extra long phone call with my mum. I want to meet her in a room in the prison by myself because I want to tell her something private. Or one woman, young woman said to me, you know, I watched my mum being arrested, and it was really difficult and traumatic. And I wish that I had had an opportunity to speak to the police after that and tell them what that felt like for me. You know, so they're not, the children, young people are not asking for really high-end, complicated, expensive interventions, as important as those often are. They're wanting really deliverable, doable things that we should be doing, but if we listen to them.
And then do you get to do the things that they want? So if they say, obviously, having a room to themselves in a prison on visits is probably impossible. So how do you manage that?
So that is a really good question, Edwina, because not all of the actions will be immediately deliverable. But I think what's really important is that children feel their voices are being heard and they can express what it is they need. So what we're looking at is who does the child impact assessment with children, and I might come back to that around giving them a choice in that, and then that person very much focusing on the actions but written in the children's own words. And I think whatever children say that they want, we can at least say, do you know what, let's ask and let's look at that. And I think the more we ask and the more we prisons hear that message. I was in at an event in Northern Ireland yesterday, and one of the prisons there has exactly that, a small room where families can meet privately. Now, it's one room for a whole prison, but it's a start. And I think the more children are able to say, that's important to me, that's what I want, the more we can start addressing those. And I think we can be honest with children and say, this may not happen, but let's ask. And it's really important that you've said that that's what you would like. Children are not, you know, they're intelligent. They get it. They know it's a big complicated system, but it's the being listened to that's the bit I think is really key. And I think the more we do encourage them to speak out and ask for things that should be deliverable, the more we might have a slightly different justice system.
Back in April 2021, I spoke to Sarah Burrows on the Justice Podcast about her charity, Children Heard and Seen, that supports children who have a parent in prison. These children often face stigma, isolation, and trauma, and have nowhere to go for help, which is what motivated Sarah to work in this field. Sarah shared some of the issues and solutions she believes are needed to ensure these children are heard and seen. So if we take a sort of an example of a couple, you've got maybe two children under the age of 10, the mother goes into prison, and the child either remains with a family member or goes into care, right? And then at what point might you sort of pick up on those children, or where do you sort of intersect in that kind of chronology of the story?
So one of the really difficult things setting up the charity initially was, who are these children and where are they? Because there isn't any mechanism to identify and support children. So we had to go out to schools and say, you know, this is what we're offering. And it was primary schools mainly that identified children. Now it's parents themselves.
Since speaking to Sarah back in April 2021, there has been some progress in this area in the form of a new pilot project with the Thames Valley Violence Reduction Unit, Thames Valley Police and Children Heard and Seen, called Operation Paramount. First piloted in October 2021, it is currently live in Oxfordshire and Milton Keynes. Operation Paramount is a new process to identify children of a parent who is sent to prison, allowing a prompt offer of support for the whole family. Here, Sergeant Russ Massey from Thames Valley Police describes the project alongside Sarah and her colleague Leanne.
So Operation Paramount is very simply a way for us to use data that's already available, use it in an innovative and unique way, but use that to identify and recognise young people who may need support, and then put support in place to the family at the time that they need it the most. So throughout my career, I've seen numerous issues that I believe we could have actually prevented, or we could provide a better support to if we'd known about them sooner. So Operation Paramount picks up the information of the adult entering the criminal justice system on the day that they enter. It then allows us to compare that data to other data sets we have from the police and other partners to recognise where those children are and then offer that support.
This piece of work that the police are doing will be groundbreaking in terms of, if we can understand what the problem is, we can then understand what solutions need to be there.
I think Operation Paramount is going to be really vital in these first steps in making that early identification. I think that families need to know really early on that there is something there for them, that somebody will be there for them. There's a real lack of faith in the people around them, the systems, the people they've met, the police they've met, the teachers they've met. And so we have to rebuild that, and we have to make sure that they do see the police in a positive light.
So once we've used the data and Operation Paramount's kicked in and we've recognised where that child lives and who with, we then approach the family via telephone call and we ask if it's okay for us to come and see them. And we'll ask them whether they're happy for us to come in uniform or they want us not to be in uniform. And then we have local policing champions, Thames Valley police officers, who are child-centred, who understand these issues as well as I do. And we just visit the family. We go with kindness and we go with an offer of support. There's no pressure on the families whatsoever. We will not refer anyone to Children Heard and Seen or to any other agency unless the family have consented to that referral. So once the police have made an offer of support to a family, if it's accepted, we'll make that referral there and then, or we'll leave details for them to refer themselves. That's it. At that point, the police move away and Children Heard and Seen do the amazing work that they do with that family. That's it for Operation Paramount. That's as involved as the police need to be.
I think it's really important that children are identified and supported, and that stops the sort of intergenerational harm that goes on by parental offending. There needs to be simple support, but there needs to be a support mechanism around for children as well as the identification.
Fahana's interview really highlighted the vital importance of this support being in place and exactly what this should look like.
I'm Muslim, and our social worker sent us to a Sikh household thinking they were Muslim. And see, you know, religion anyway, like there's like an issue with another religion and whatnot. And I was, in that time, I was wearing a hijab. And because they saw me wearing a hijab, I was called names. And it was a very horrible experience being in that care. We had about 6-7 social workers. I think obviously at the start, you're explaining your story to the first one. And when it got to the 7th social worker, you just gave up. Like, how many times do I have to explain my story? Then, like, they're very unreliable. They say something and they're going to call you and it never happens. Or they're going to take you out and have a chat with you and see how everything's going. Or when you have those meetings in school and see how your progress is doing in school, like, sometimes they'd never come. And I just thought, like, my teachers have no idea what's going on. They just know that they come into these meetings. They have no idea that I'm in foster care. And when it comes to like tutor time, I get these questions from my tutor. And it's just like, it's embarrassing. I don't want everyone in my class to know what's going on. School is a safe way for most children, isn't it? That's a place where they feel safe and they feel like they can talk to their teachers about anything. But school wasn't safe for us. It wasn't a place where we can go and feel comfortable and talk to our teachers. There was no place that we felt safe or comfortable in to talk. There was nowhere. I know how low depression you can get. You feel like, oh, like, I don't deserve to be here anymore. Like, what's the point? Like, you feel worthless. Like, you're in a home with strangers and, like, your mum's in prison. Like, you feel worthless. But what I suggest is, like, every child should have access or be available to speak to someone, like, because feeling alone is the worst depression you can have. Like, nothing can top that. When you feel alone, like, you have no one to speak to, and it just sort of eats you alive.
The work of charities such as Children Heard and Seen seek to fill this gap where no support is available. Here, Sarah describes the services they provide.
We always try and do it from a sort of child-centred, child-focused, what works for that child, recognising that every child has unique and different feelings about their parent being in prison. But what goes all the way through is that sadness, shame, stigma, you know, that children, you know, are bullied at school, they suffer at school, people can be really unpleasant about their parent being in prison, you know, they weren't thinking of you, they don't care about you. We've had cases of children having a concrete blocks through their windows, faeces through the door, being beaten up, watching their mother beaten up. I mean, really, really horrific stuff. A child at school recently, you know, if my dad did that, I would kill myself. That was going around in a WhatsApp group, beaten up by, you know, huge numbers of other children. And that children really are suffering. And our support is to actually give them a safe space to talk about that trauma that they've experienced. You know, it could start from arrest, you know, being in the house, watching police officers come in, watching what happens, not being able to move, not being able to go to their parent, that, you know, they could be asleep at night, woken up, door smashed in, police coming in, you know, parent arrested, you know, witnessing real trauma. I mean, one of the great things that we have is a mentoring scheme. So what the mentoring is a neutral person from outside the family home that can be there for the child. And our mentoring scheme is a year to 18 months, once a week, to see the child. So it just gives the child someone to speak to outside the family home. You know, you go out and go for a walk, go and do some activities together. But it's a consistent adult for the child. But because there is so many different mixed emotions, you know, in the house, from the remaining parent or the ex-partner, siblings, everyone's got different feelings and emotions.
Right. And then, so you do the mentoring. Do you do group work as well? Tell me about that.
We do the three bits. We do the one-to-one support, you know, that I've talked about, and how to tell the child, working through feelings and emotions with the children. And group work is much more about children feeling different. And the group work can have a focus on the parent being in prison, or it cannot. It's about coming together as a shared experience and seeing other children and thinking, they're normal like me.
At school in the classroom, I feel like I'm the only one who feels how I feel. It feels like I have a secret that I don't want anyone else to know. But then when I came to the group and met other children whose parents are also in prison, it makes it easier and I get to share my feelings and feel safe.
When I'm at school and with my mates, I feel like I have to keep my feelings to myself because I don't want people to talk about me. When I'm in groups with other kids like me, I feel like I'm not alone, and when I speak to my one-to-one mentor, I know I'm safe to tell her my feelings.
When you have these fears and these anxieties, in some way you're different. You just need to be reassured, and the group work gives that. I mean, we had a Christmas party in a hall, and a boy of seven, when he left, it was the first time he'd come to anything. And when he's left, his mother said to him, you do realise everybody there had a mum or a dad in prison? And she said he just burst into tears. He was just overwhelmed that actually it was really powerful for him to see that. And he'd been told at school not to say anything. He was told it was, quote, inappropriate by his head teacher.
To conclude this episode, we'll hear again from Fahana. Better services for children with a mother in prison are essential. But as we have explored throughout this series, the vast majority of these mothers did not need to be in prison in the first place or separated from their children. Alternatives to custody should be funded and should be prioritised.
I just feel like, going straight to prison isn't the right thing. I think that there should be like community centres and stuff to help them. Separating the children and the mum is like the worst thing to do. Like, if I could do anything to go back to my childhood with having my mum there, I would do it. Like, my mum's missed out on everything. Like, my finishing school to college and, like, it's everything she's missed out on. And, like, you can never get that time back.
Links relevant to this episode can be found in the pod notes below. If you enjoyed listening, we would love it if you would subscribe. Also, rate, review, and best of all, share this episode. Justice is produced for One Small Thing by the London Podcast Company.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about
work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.